you want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding. But it warns us that wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely as you hear once again from your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today with my daughter, Valerie Shepherd. Valerie, tell us what your subject is this week.
Trusting the Lord for your husband's spirituality.
Trusting the Lord for your husband's spirituality. Now, I know that this is a topic that many women are going to listen to eagerly because they often write to me and say, how am I supposed to trust my husband when I know he's wrong?
Well, we talked yesterday about, first of all, submitting to his authority because it's God-given authority. And, of course, we know from that chapter in Romans 13, where Paul tells the Romans that they must submit to governmental authority and pray for the authorities. We have the same principle in our marriages, that we must submit to the head of the family and we must pray for him. So because we pray for our husband, we know that the Lord will take care of everything needful in our husband's maturity and growth. Let me read 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 4. Likewise, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your beauty be that outward adorning of arranging the hair, of wearing gold, or of putting on fine apparel, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. First of all, we have to accept the fact that our husbands are in authority over us. We have to examine ourselves and see if we really believe that. Are they to be in authority? The Bible tells us they are to be in authority. Now, they may be Christians or they may be non-Christians. Whether they're non-Christians or Christians, we are to submit to their authority. I think a lot of Christian women would probably say they could only submit to a Christian husband, or Christians who are married to non-Christians would say, I can't submit to him because he doesn't know the Lord. But I think the principle, whether your husband is non-Christian or Christian, is the same, that because he's the head of the house and because he's the husband, wives must submit. And I don't mean doing immoral things if the husband requires that of the wife. I mean, in general, following what your husband desires.
This first verse in 1 Peter 3 that you read, it says, if any of them do not believe the word. And the original language allows for it being either a Christian husband who is not acting like a Christian, or a husband who makes no profession of being a Christian. What you're telling us, Val, is that this man has been assigned to be your husband. So he therefore holds a divine office. Whether or not he recognizes it is another question. And of course, the very difficult questions always come up. But what if he's asking me to do something
that's immoral,
that I know is wrong? And I believe with all my heart, Valerie, that is a matter where we are strictly called to trust God in our husbands. Trust God to get you out of what you may think is a disastrous situation.
Because he delivers.
If you're just
the godly.
So sure that what your husband is asking is just going to lead to disaster, get down on your knees and say, Lord, this is a matter that only you can deal with.
Yes, I remember when I first read that and it spoke to my own heart about my attitude towards my husband. I thought, this doesn't mean just if he's a non-Christian. It means that he could be a Christian who's either being immature or he's being disobedient or he's not understanding how much responsibility he has in making this particular decision. And I remember thinking, but the Lord is commanding me to be quiet, to win him without a word, over to what I think is right, whether I'm needing to change his mind or something. God wants me to trust him, to trust God, for whatever decisions my husband is making. It doesn't mean that I have to be silent on an issue. I think that over the years, Walt has listened to me more and more, and it's very natural and normal for a husband not to want to listen to his wife because they are proud and they think they know what should be done, and men in general are that way. But over the years, my husband has wanted to talk to me more and more about decisions, and I'm thankful for that. But I think it had to come originally when I finally realized and recognized that I needed to learn to pray for him more instead of trying to change him. So to win your husband without a word, I think, means listen to him when he says, this is what we're going to do. Make your opinion known if he's willing to listen, or even if he's not listening, you can, in a gentle and loving way, make your opinion known. But if he's not listening, then you take it to the Lord in prayer. So to win him without a word means to learn quietness, quietness of heart and quietness of temperament and quietness of spirit towards him. And I know for so many years I would argue with whatever he said. Not having any idea before I got married that I was that argumentative a person. But of course, the marriage itself exposes our sins, doesn't it? And I saw myself, I never had known that I was, that I always wanted to be right.
Well, I certainly sympathize. And as you know, I am a born arguer myself. I was a debater in college. And I was thinking particularly regarding this matter about our dear friend Frank Murray. He told me a little story about early in his first marriage. He was married, I think, 50 years to his wife Lois, and she died. And I asked him what he thought about this passage. Is a wife really to submit in that way? And he said, I don't think the subject ever came up until one day when she just very gently suggested that I needed to realize that whatever decision I made was going to affect her. And he said, it was just as if the Lord said to me, Frank, you've got to get it right. You've got to get it right, mm-hmm. because you are responsible for this woman.
Mm-hmm. If we love our husbands as God wants us to love them, the love is more important than the saying, I'm right and you're wrong.
Much more important than winning the argument.
Right. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. So I really believe that if we are committed to being obedient to God's word, he will help us to, quote unquote, win our husbands. But it simply means he'll help us to do what he wants us to do, and he will take care of what our husbands are deciding for us. And he will work through circumstances, whether it's the Holy Spirit telling him strongly in his heart that he must do something, or that circumstances fall into a way that he sees he must change his mind on something. I'm so thankful that the Lord is in charge and not me. I know we would have had a lot more awful things happen if we had done things the way I thought things should be done. God works through our husbands the way he wants things to work. Then the next injunction is to be chaste and respectful, purely loving God and purely loving your husband. This whole business of being argumentative is so proud and disrespectful. And being chaste,
I think we need to spell that word because some of our listeners might think we're spelling it C-H-A-S-E-D.
Oh, okay. Chaste is C-H-A-S-T-E. I think you could give a good definition
of that. Which simply means pure in heart.
Be pure in heart. And if we are entrusting our husband's spirituality into God's hands, we don't have to take care of it. We don't have to be in charge of it. We don't have to change them. But to be pure in heart means to believe that God will do what he says he will do, and he will work in his own time to change our husbands. And again, I think we have to reiterate that it's not just talking about non-Christian husbands here. The principle is the same for Christian husbands, for wives to learn to be chaste and respectful towards their Christian husbands. And I'm sure there are many wives who think that they are more spiritual than their husbands.
And many husbands who would agree. I think many husbands cop out of making decisions which really are their responsibility because they say, well, you know, you're really better at this. You're more spiritual mm-hmm. than I am. Mm-hmm. You're the one that does all the praying. You know, you can take care of this. And if a husband insists, then we may have to make a decision. Mm-hmm. But our attitude should always be one of gentleness and quietness. And
humility.
Both of us know that we were not born with that gentle and quiet spirit.
Right. Uh-huh. I remember the times in our house, in your house, Mama, when Walt and I were first falling in love. You and I might have a discussion over something, and we would raise our voices not because we were angry, but just because we wanted to make our point. And he would come sneaking in behind us and say, Walt would say, "Is everything okay here?" Or he would come to you by yourself and say, "Are you okay with your daughter?" And he was so used to having in their home, the whole attitude was we don't hurt each other's feelings and we don't get upset or raise our voices. And I never felt like you and I were upset at each other, but it was just our normal way of talking. And he would be so nervous that we had gotten mad at each other.
Well, thanks so much, Val, for being with us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Discipline, The Glad Surrender, and No Graven Image. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.